You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now we've been forced into this to an extent because the man that we were going to interview has called in sick, and he was on his way down from New South Wales, from Sydney, to speak to us. What was his name, Don? His
name Professor.
Professor, doesn't really matter what his name was. His name was Asim Malhotra, a UK doctor from India, and he had some very interesting things we were going to ask him about, but he has called in sick. So we either have only two parts, or you came up with a suggestion, Don. Why don't we write down 10 questions we want to ask each other? But that's fine, but we should get some ground rules first.
No.
No, Don.
You
Don,
will ask
just
me
a
anything.
Minute. The ground rule, no. First, just listen, and if you don't agree, that's fine. But can you ask, if I ask you a question, can I ask a supplementary question, or does that count as my second question?
Oh, geez, I don't know. Depends on the question. You know, well, if it leads somewhere, it leads somewhere.
Point. Well,
we'll just see. We'll play it by you. Come on, this is impromptu. You're one for informality. Let's go. Don't put any. This is like.
All right.
You're dedicated. You're going flying in the face of what you say. We've got to be informal. Now you're
I'll be informed, but if
right
I say,
now, let's go.
If
first
I
question.
Say
my
something
first
and you say no.
I'll choose not to answer it.
That's
okay,
right.
my first question to you.
Oh, right. So you're going to lead this off.
Yeah, I will. Now, you made your name firstly and I first came across
Keep
you.
Keep the question short.
Shut up, you control freak. Football.
Yes.
Give me your best season in football.
1975.
That's interesting. A supplementary question.
Oh.
Supplementary question.
Is this the second question?
Well, this is very interesting. 1975, because you played at centre-half forward. Is that right?
I think I did. I can't remember.
Well, I would have said I thought your best years would have been in the late 60s when you were playing in the ruck. I thought you were a very dominant ruckman.
Don, they were my best years. You asked me what was my best year, and I'm saying I recall it as being 1975 because under Polly Farmer we finished last, and I think I was the captain, and I played very good football.
That's centre-half forward?
What?
That's centre-half forward. Come on, Dan.
I presume it was. I can't. Recall,
well, you won the Kazali or whatever it was for the best footballer in the competition.
That's correct.
And
that's why I said
why
it.
Did they move you from the ruck
These
to centre half?
Is this
forward?
The second question?
Yes, supplementary. Because why did they move you from the ruck to centre half?
Because they had no one to play at centre half forward.
Not because the fact that you couldn't jump anymore because of your ankles?
Not at all, Don. No. I filled in a gap, centre half forward being the most important position on the ground.
In those days,
centre half forward was considered the most important position on the ground because people actually played in that position. And you can go through all the great, not that I'm calling myself one, please, I don't think that, but the great players in most sides had great centre half forward.
Well, they had
Royce Hart,
big fellows.
Wayne Carey. What?
They had very big
anyhow.
So in that
anyway, I've
that's
answered
the
question. 1975.
Your question to me.
Did you have a happy childhood?
Very good question.
No, I don't need you to tell
me. My mother passed away when I was 10, and that had an influence upon me.
What influence?
Well, influence in as far as relationships go, because I didn't and wasn't old enough to see the interaction between adult female, your parents are your
mentors.
Well, they are subtly, and if you see a relation, you see how to relate in a relationship. My mother passed away at 10. And
how
so
did
I
she pass away?
She drowned at.
And that knocked you about?
Yes.
Yeah, of course
we were
it
swimming,
would, but I
we
didn't
were swimming
mean
at
that,
the,
that way.
At Warrandyte in the Yarra River one night, it was very hot. We lived in Box Hill, and what we used to do in those times when it was 100 degrees, you'd go somewhere. So we used to go to the Yarra River at Warrandyte, and she had, I think, a stroke and drowned in the Yarra River.
And you discovered her?
Yeah, well, I saw her because she was out on the river.
And did your father take up the slack of
bringing
you
both
up?
Yeah, well, he
did. You have a good
both
relationship with him?
Well, he chose one way, and that was a disciplinarian way. And so he could have been the nurturer, but he chose to be the disciplinarian.
And did that? Did you appreciate that looking back, or did you think you'd rather have had different effect on your life?
Well, it could have been, but you are what you are and you are influenced. So what I am is a result of my upbringing.
So, Don, I've asked you six different questions.
I know, supplementaries.
This was the point of what I was saying. It's a far different from you saying, what was my best football season? I've asked you about your personal life,
okay,
which I think
is
far more... What?
I haven't finished.
Oh, don't say... Yeah, go on.
Okay. What would you, for the remaining years of your life, like to do?
What would I like to do? I would like to be fit enough. I'd like to be injury free enough, a bit like you, I've got a feeling, but I wouldn't put words in your mouth. I'd like to be injury free enough to pursue the things that I enjoy, that I have enjoyed over my latter years.
What are they?
Playing golf. I like boating and doing all that. But I'm not interested really in travelling overseas. There's a few places I'd like to go to. But
like what? Where?
The Arctic. Russia. Just out places people haven't been.
Well, come on. Tell me their names.
In Siberia, all that sort of stuff. But, Don, okay. I'd like to have someone to go with. Okay. That's the important thing. It's not where you go in life, it's who you go with. Mm-hmm. And I could easily find someone to go with, but it's finding the motivation to do it.
That's a very relevant point, because I travel by myself through Europe, and it's interesting when you get to something interesting and you'd like to share that with somebody, but you turn around and there's no one there, so I can appreciate what you say.
Suddenly ask another question.
Is it my chance or your chance?
It's my question.
Okay, go.
Have you ever been unfaithful to anyone that you've ever been out with or married to?
Yes.
When I say unfaithful, that is, I don't necessarily mean jumping on top of them. Not necessarily, but have you had your desires and affections been with other people when it shouldn't have been?
I said yes.
That's the short clinical answer to that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, next question.
Wives. You've had four wives.
Of my own.
How did you meet each wife? Where was the first meeting of each wife? Number one.
Well, I could tell you where I met my first wife.
Yeah,
but
now come on,
no,
just
no,
all
no,
you
no,
have
gone,
to say.
Gone, in respect to, she wouldn't mind me saying this, but in respect to the situation I met her in, and you know what it is, and I'm not ducking
well,
the
you
question.
You met her at a party, can we say party for the first wife?
Yes, you can.
Okay, second wife. Where was your first meeting of your second wife?
That is an extraordinarily good question, Don. I'm not pleading ignorance. Do you know?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm not sure where I met her. I met her, I think. Doug Wade was a business partner of mine. We had a hairdressing business where we sold hairdressing products to ladies' beauty salons. And we were in that for a decade. And I think Doug's second wife was a friend of the person I was introduced to, and I was introduced to her indirectly or directly by Doug, and for that I'm
okay,
holding him responsible
okay.
for...
Number three. Where did we meet number three? First meeting.
This is the mother of...
don't have to... Yeah, number three.
Oh.
Diane.
Yes. I honestly can't recall, but she was Sir Robert Helpman's secretary, if you know who Sir Robert Helpman
Australian
was.
Australian ballet.
Yes. And I don't know why, but I met her out at Flemington where the Australian Ballet headquarters was. I think that's where I met her.
Okay.
Amanda appeared at a hotel I was at a function, and I was asked, someone came over and said, there's a person wants to meet you or wants to speak to you over by the bar. And I looked over and I walked over. I said, do you want to speak to me? And she said, yes. And I said, what do you want? She said, I wanted to meet you.
Okay.
I said, that's extraordinary. And her designs were that she wanted to go out with me. How ironic, Don, that she was pretty accurate because I ended up marrying her.
Mm. Okay, your question.
Oh, thank you, Don. Do you think you're selfish?
I think I was selfish, especially when I was younger.
Why? What do you mean by that?
Well, I was very self-centred mm. because I was free, had my own business, sport, and so everything centred around me.
You thought you were a bit above your station.
No,
thought you'd be
not at
better
all.
Than you
no,
were.
No, not at all. But
arrogant.
When my children came along, that was for the first time in my life I thought about someone else, and they...
Other than yourself.
Yes, and they were number one and two.
And do we have a good relationship with our children?
Who?
You.
No, well, I'm blueing with my daughter at the moment.
No, but that's temporarily, isn't it?
Well,
you'd unconditionally love her.
I think there's two... Two things you can give to in life, unconditionally. They are animals and young children.
Well, now she's grown up, would you unconditionally love her?
Oh, Jesus, testing.
Go ahead.
That's my question. Oh.
That's your... That's the
okay. Looking back on your life, would you do anything differently? Now, I've put it into three areas. Sport. Would you do anything differently in your sport?
Well, hypothetically, if I had my life over again, I loved playing football, but if I had it over again, I would either concentrate on being a great soccer player or a great golfer. I'd probably be capable of being a great soccer player. I'm not sure if I'd ever be capable of being a great golfer, but plenty of people start from somewhere and become great golfers. So one of those two things. But I loved playing football because it was the only sport that was the mainstream sport in the school I went to. It was either cricket, rowing, tennis or football, and I was good at it. I was good at it at school. But other than that, I would like to have been a great world soccer player or golfer.
What about in business? Would you do anything different in your business ventures?
Would I ever? I dabbled in a business which lost me my whole livelihood because I guaranteed someone at a bank and the person went broke and I had the bank take my entire possessions from me. I wasn't bankrupt, but I was skint, absolutely on the bones of my bum. So I'd probably do that differently. Doug Wade and I were in a business. We were great footballers. But we lasted a decade and had great fun and great success doing it. But I wouldn't say being a businessman was my strong suit.
Okay, career. Would you do anything different in your career?
Well, Don, if I had become a great soccer player or a great golfer, I would have, but I never had any qualification to do anything. I was reasonably scholastically capable, but I never achieved any great degree of that, never had a trade, never had a degree. So after football, there's an old saying, being in the right place at the right time. I was in the right place at the right time and hence started my career in the media. Although I did, when I was broke, I did become proactive and decided I would try and resurrect my career by interviewing people for the paper, the Sun in those days, and then it became the Herald Sun, and they were called head-to-head articles, which I did, which were well received and sent me on a path of reasonable success in the media. Survival, not success.
Would you do anything differently?
Man, this is seven questions.
No, this is supplementary, and I had this last one is relationships. Would you do anything different looking back on your relationships with the opposite sex?
Would I do anything differently? Well, That you just can't answer that. I'm not ducking that question. You would say, of course I would, or else I'd still probably be married to this person I was first married to. Or you'd probably do a lot of things differently, but as you said earlier, Don, your DNA is who you are, and we're scallywags by nature, and sometimes it comes and rebounds on you, and that's probably happened to me. And it's happened to you. This is my question now. Do you go out of your way to be deliberately rude or and annoying, or do you find, does that give you some sense of joy knowing that you make people feel uncomfortable when they're in your presence?
No, I don't feel that people are uncomfortable in my presence.
That's not for you to answer, Don.
No, but I don't do anything vindictively, and I don't do anything intentionally. I think there's a real difference. I have got the
We had ability. People at this very podcast.
Yeah, I've got that ability, but I don't think Why people like to know the truth.
So you like to be truthful to people, not diplomatic. Do you think there's ever a reason you should be diplomatic rather than blatantly truthful?
I think
truthful?
There are certainly things you've got to be a little subtle, but I think in a lot of things, people say things and, yeah.
What,
no,
Don?
No, I don't know. No, I don't deliberately do it, but I don't think a lot of people can handle the truth or...
Knowing that people can't handle the truth, you deliberately
no,
become
deliberate.
Blatant
you've
with them.
You've got to be yourself. You've been brought up a certain way.
To be rude.
No, to be honest, we used to get a belting if we told a lie, and so I was brought up that way, and I mean physically belted. So, yeah.
You think this was a good idea? We did 10 questions.
My question to you.
I bet you. As a result of my questions, I bet you've reorganised some of the things you got to ask
my
me.
My next question to you is. You're in a lot of pain with regard to your ankle.
Yes.
What is going to happen with regard, because you haven't, off air, you haven't told me what is happening about your ankle, because I have not seen somebody in so much pain.
Yes, I'm going to, this is really boring to people, but I've just had a shoulder operation, and the reason I haven't had another ankle operation is because the man said, if you're going to have your ankle operated on, you better have two good shoulders in order to hold some crutches, because you'll have to walk around on them for six months or so. So I'm getting my shoulder fixed first, and then I will take some steps to investigate having my ankle surgery again on my ankle. Someone said I should cut it off. You couldn't believe that, cut my foot off. Someone said you should have a plastic ankle, which they said is no good for older people. You can't have plastic ankles because they just don't take. So the only alternative is if I either put up with the pain, Don, because I'm a very strong warrior, or I go and get it done again. So I'll probably think if I've got any more years left on the planet, maybe I've got, I don't know how many I've got, but I would hate to go through the rest of the years on my planet with the ankle as it is, Don. Yes, supplementary?
Oh, sorry, no, your turn.
Thanks, Don, yeah. Now, I anticipate the answer, but do you think you were a good footballer and why? If you did...
No, I don't think I was a nat... All I had was the ability to jump. And I had the ability to run, but I think you'd also need something, and that is the ability to follow a football, which I had. But no, I don't think, I just think I had the ability to run and jump, but I also had a bonus of knowing where the football was going on the ground. So I'd say no.
So you didn't think you were skillful?
No, I don't think I was the most skilled player around, no.
But you were tenacious and you offset, did you? This is a question.
I was desperate because I, from an early age, I realised I wasn't academically capable. This was my opportunity in life and I was very desperate. I was desperate to make a success because you don't get too many opportunities in life. And I realised, and I suppose had a coach that advocated football be played in such a way, and I saw it, and the other fellows didn't take up his invitation, and I did, and consequently that's the way I played.
Supplementary question. Because, in your words, you didn't think you were that skillful as a footballer but had the other things going that make you a good footballer, did you deliberately become snide and aggressive and untoward on a lot
not
of the things?
Not snide. Not
well, you've snide. Told me, I haven't, you've told me you used to kick and gouge.
Yeah, that's not snide. That would, you know, I would. You were snide by hitting from behind.
No, this is
I only hit people who were facing me.
What about trying to rip their eyes out when they're in a pack and you've got your hands over the front of their face? Because I think you,
Listen,
I think you
are, things,
I think
are
you are credited
that
with
we
saying...
Leave. We leave on the football field and I'm embarrassed about a number of things that happened on the football field.
Well, that's where these questions
I'm very
just suddenly,
embarrassed.
This is where these questions go out the window.
I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, that's where these questions go out the window because, you know, you've said anything. I think you've quoted,
well,
been
I'm
quoted
very
as saying anything goes on a football field besides racism.
I have injured my teammates on the football field.
Yes, I know.
So, yes, very embarrassing.
Right, that's my question. And there we go.
Now,
generosity.
You are an exceptionally generous man, and I said once before, it's a fault. Do you look back on your generosity and say, I wish I hadn't have done that? It's either with money, and you mentioned earlier about how you backed a man who was... doing the Herald Sun deliveries.
No, just don't worry about
okay,
what he was doing.
Right,
oh, because he's got a family and he's got offspring
okay,
and I'm
right,
not
well,
running
okay.
him down.
Right, oh, and there's other monies that you have lent that I know to other people.
So
you've been stitched. Do you think it's a fault, generosity with you?
Don, nothing to anyone who listens to this, nothing is worse than listening to people speak about how noble and generous and everything. I'm not conceding any of that. I'm just saying, I'm very happy as I would to you, and I hope people to me and have done this. When I went broke, I had a lot of people rallied and helped me financially, and I learnt from that. And when I got in the position of being reasonably affluent just through the jobs I've had, I never forgot that. And I thought, well, if people can go out of their way to help me, if I'm able, I'd love to help other people.
So
I've done that.
You've helped other people, but you've also
been
stitched.
I have. I've been stitched by plenty of people, but I've been helped by plenty of people. So it's a quid pro quo thing. And I am very grateful to all the people who rallied when I was, some of them didn't even, a lot of them didn't know me, but they just, and so that to me is embarrassing. But I, on the other hand, would like to think that I could give back that generosity if I was able. I think anyone has that mindset. Anyone, if they can, doesn't matter how affluent or how much money you have or what you have. If affluence is not how much you give, it's whether you can give when you are struggling and you can still find room and time to help people. I'm no different to anyone else. You would help me, I know. Is that me? I hope I turn my phone off. Well, that is me, so I'm just turning that off now.
And my final question.
No, just so you would help me, although people help other people if they can.
Now, my final question.
Hang on.
Oh, sorry, you've got
What do you mean, your final question?
Go on. My final question will be the next.
Well, will it? What do you think people think of you? And
I really don't care.
You don't care?
No.
Well, so all right. What do you think people think of you?
I honestly don't care, and I haven't thought. I don't care.
You haven't thought what people think of you?
No, and I really don't.
What do you think I think of you?
I don't care what you think of me.
Don, these are questions that you have to answer. I'm saying, all right, now let me rephrase it. Irrespective of whether you care or not, what do you think people think of you?
I don't know. Everybody sees something different.
What do you think people think of you?
I honestly don't know. You've got to tell me.
Do they think you're a belligerent?
I don't know.
Aggressive, strict, sterile, austere, clinical, rude person, or do they think you're a nice, affable?
You think all of those things, otherwise you wouldn't bother them up.
Okay, so if I think those things, Don, why are we sitting opposite one another and have been acquaintances? I know you don't like to be called a friend or even an unconditional friend. Why would we have been acquaintances for 50 years if I think all those things of you? Why are we doing this together? This podcast.
Well, I rang you up and said, though, I think there's an opportunity for a podcast.
No, you didn't.
I did.
I've been doing this before you came on the scene.
But I did an interview with SEN and somebody said you should be doing a podcast.
That's right.
And I said, well, and then we went and did that interview at SEN, the two of us, for an hour, and it was pretty good. So that's how it started.
That's right.
I didn't know you were doing a podcast.
What? Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Well, anyhow. So we decided to do it. And why did you want to do this? You're not media savvy. You have no nothing to the
somebody
table.
Somebody said these are the things to do. Podcast are the newest thing. I thought it could ramp up and we could become commercial.
Commercial.
Yeah, because I can't continue doing stuff what I'm doing now.
It gets back to the second question I asked you. We have no idea about business. Well, we do have idea.
We've
about
got
business.
No idea about modern business.
No, that's right. We're not.
My final question to you is.
Just a minute.
You got a supplementary.
No, you didn't answer my question. Whether you care or not, what do you think people think of you?
Honest, John.
I don't say
subjective.
You honestly don't care.
I don't know. You might see something in me. Someone else will see something
different. Well, I just told you what most people see in you.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Arrogant, pompous, rude, belligerent, argumentative, clinical, austere, savage, unrelenting, unemotional. Other than that, you're a good bloke.
Now, my final question to you. Who are you, your mother or your father?
Now, that's a good question, Don. Who am I? Now, my mother was, people will love this. She was just a housewife. Just a housewife. That's what she was. She looked after my sisters and my father and me, and that's what the role of her she was. She wasn't a business person. She was softer and more gentle than my father. My father spoilt me because I came 10 years after my oldest sister, or my youngest sister. I came 10 years after her, so I was 10 years younger than my youngest sister. I'm 12 years younger than my oldest sister. So my father found probably a new interest in his life. Not that he wasn't disinterested in his daughters, of course he was, but they had grown up and had flown the coop almost. But he had great joy because he was a Geelong supporter and part of the Geelong Football Club indirectly. He had great joy in seeing that, and my mother did too. So I think people say, geez, they didn't do much good a job, any of them, because I've turned out to be what I've been. But whatever I am collectively, I have been nervous. My parents have collectively been responsible for the person they've turned out.
Have you got any regrets in the way that you've turned out?
Now, this will sound a very glib and trite answer, Don. You should never have really... It's pointless having regrets, because if you had your life over, you would do things differently, but you never get your life over. So it's just sheer... It is just sheer speculation on what you would have or what you should have done. There's plenty of things I should have done differently. Don't ask me what, but almost everything. But you'd never get a chance to do it. What would you like? This is we still going here? What would you like to change about yourself if you put your mind to it? I know you're very happy in your own bones, in your own body and all that. What would you like to change if you put your mind to it? What would you like to change about yourself?
Well, I think I went through a metamorphosis at about 40, where I looked at myself and tried to change.
What didn't you like about yourself at 40?
Well, and I found that I wasn't true to myself. And I then...
Meaning?
Well, it wasn't me. It was fake. It wasn't me. So I just thought that you were moulded in such a way, and that's what you've got to be. You've just got to be true to yourself, no matter what you think. You live... And so I'm happy with myself and where I am.
So the original questions I asked you, you've
told I've realised you've
you told
can't
me
change.
Nonsense. You haven't been honest with me. If you can say you thought you were fake,
haven't treated yourself, what do you mean? I don't know. There might have been
fake.
Things.
What do you mean? Your beliefs?
Well, you do things that you're not true to yourself.
Well, what do you do? That's things deliberately fake. To be annoying to people? Or
No. You try and change different things in the way you go about. I think you've got to be true to yourself. And unfortunately, the mould's set and we've really got no control over it.
Well, I'll ask you one more question. When a Hawthorn looked as though they were going under, going to merge with Melbourne, what, out of anyone else that played for that club, the Tucks, the Matthews, the Brendan Edwards, the Roy Simmons, the John Kennedy, what set you on a mission to do what you did? Because I don't give a fuck if you think this is not or not. You saved that club. Why did you... was this an ego trip? Was it... what made you do that? What annoyed you so much about that you thought, why did you do it?
Because I went to Hawthorn when we're on the bottom of the ladder. 1966.
So did everyone else that's been there.
No, and I mixed with a lot of people that were at Hawthorn.
So did everyone else that was there.
Who were there in the early 50s when Hawthorn was nothing. Hawthorn made their first finals in 1957. A lot of those people were still on the board around the club.
Why didn't they
position in the 1950s when Hawthorn, nobody wanted to know about Hawthorn. And... and all those people had passed away, and I could see them doing things without, they might have got some kudos, I suppose, but I could see, and I just felt a debt to those people.
Why didn't anyone else feel a debt to those people? It's far more important people at that stage.
Everybody has a different emotional attachment. And perhaps it is because it is the only club I've ever played for. Played one season at Box Hill Fourths, and that is the only...
Fourths?
Yeah, Fourths at Box Hill in the Melbourne Boys League under 16 or under 17 competition.
Did you want to make yourself a hero? Was it an ego thing?
It had nothing to do with that. I just think that the people deserved, and I didn't know the state that Hawthorn was in. It was signed, sealed, just about signed, sealed and delivered.
Right.
When I found out about what was happening, being in the media, you're looking around for stories.
So you opened up the paper and it said, tomorrow it is suggested that Hawthorn is going to sign a in-terms agreement with Melbourne.
I was in the media.
Yes.
And when you're in the media, you're looking for stories.
Yes.
And I came across this story and... it just snowballed from there, and it was fait accompli. But I wasn't given the opportunity as a member of the Hawthorn Football Club to put up my hand and say, and the club never said it was in a dire situation. And so I just thought the people deserve that opportunity to save. And also I remember the people, the administrators that went before me, that were very creditable people and very upstanding
people. So when it was almost a fait accompli, you said, you got home one day and you thought, hey, hang on a minute, and that's how it started,
isn't
it? And you went in and you said, this is bullshit. Mm. And they said, Don, keep out of it. We've almost signed, sealed and delivered. No bullshit. Is that how it went, Don?
Not like that, but it's something else.
Don.
It is now 11:25, and I, or we, may be meeting a female for lunch at the Mad Duck. So shall we terminate this interview?
Well, in case any of the questions get any more personal or embarrassing. I'm not sure if you thought it was a good experiment, but I had enjoyment doing it anyhow. So that's it. We've been let down by 8 people today, but Don, we've resurrected it, and that's it. Now, which button do I push here now? Come on.
You'll cannot
be serious.
Oh, that's it. No.